Do you see what Paul's saying? He wants to give them the benefit of his gifts. That's what it means when he says, I long to see you so that I may use that which has been given to me to strengthen you. So here's a gift that keeps on giving. So it's clear from the very first time that spiritual gift is used, it's designed for the strengthening of others. And that's important. To strengthen someone by ministering a spiritual gifts means that you're helping their faith. You're helping their faith not to give way when life gets hard and challenging. You know what? Life's getting hard. Things have changed. And they haven't stopped changing. I know we're all hankering to get back to normal. We're not going to go back to what was. We're just going to find something new and adjust and realize that we'll have everything that we need to go forward. Life has always been like that. Listen to what Paul says in Timothy, or Thessalonians rather. I'll read it to you. It says, we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen you and to establish you and to encourage you as to your faith. Same words almost again. That no man may be disturbed by these afflictions. So we have spiritual gifts in order to help people keep the faith. To keep on keeping on, to kind of maintain a spiritual equilibrium in the midst of life's storms and challenges. Let me ask you, is there anybody around you whose faith is being threatened in any way right now? Anybody being challenged in such a way that they're beginning to question things that they've never questioned before? Take note. Because it could be for such a time as this that your spiritual gift may just be what they need in order to be strengthened, in order to move forward. So as we begin our look at spiritual gifts, I don't want us to think in terms of, well, what's mine? I don't know if I have one. If I do, I don't know what it is. Let's not start there. But rather, let's look at the reason why we have a gift to start with. Because I don't doubt for a moment you've got one or more or some little unique combination of a few. Because the Spirit of God has given you that. But why has He given you that? And that's what we want to kind of look at in our time together. Well, the natural tendency in our world is to kind of comment on things. I think we're a little more prone sometimes to being critical than we are positive and upbuilding. And so that's why these gifts have been given. So I want to offer a definition for us. A spiritual gift is an ability given by the Holy Spirit to express our faith effectively, practically, in real time, whether in word or in deed, and it's always with the view of strengthening another person's faith, to bless them, because it's a spiritual gift. Now, with that kind of definition in mind, we're going to flesh it out. We're going to pad it out even more by going back to 1 Corinthians 12. So turn there if you would. And we're just going to work our way through this, and we're going to identify some of the nuances of what spiritual gifts are for. We're going to define it even more fully. Okay? Here's the first. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, sistren, it's all of us, right? Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be unaware or uninformed or ignorant. Some of you, if you have a King James translation, it'll use just the word spirituals, and it may have the word gifts in italics. Okay? What's being said here? The Holy Spirit both controls and is characterized in these spirituals or spiritualities. They're energized by Him, and they wonderfully manifest Him. They're the spirituals, if you will. He's now beginning a conversation about a life that is controlled by and characterized by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit, He not only bears His fruit, but He gives us gifts to do what He wants us to do. And those are the things that we're going to be talking about. Many translations, you will find the word gifts, as I mentioned, in italics. And even though it's not in the original, it's implied by the word. The word can indicate spiritual persons or spiritual things. But I believe it's referring to spiritual things, spiritual gifts. Look at verse 4. You see the word gifts, verse 9. The word gifts, verse 28. The word gifts, verse 30 and 31. The word gifts. It's clear from the chapter, the way the word is used is how it's meant to be embraced here. So Paul is writing to make sure that the Christians have a complete and clear understanding of their spiritual gifts. Because you know what? East Keelor Evangelical Church cannot exist without your gifts being operated. Or it will not exist effectively without you contributing the gift that God has given you. Now, there's nothing more beautiful than the church when it's functioning in the way that God desires it to function. And it's that way. This church would probably have an older average demographic than, say, some other churches. Which only means, in my mind, you have a seasoned, experienced base for the expression of the beautiful gift that you have been given. And they don't have a use-by date. Spiritual gifts never go into retirement. Spiritual gifts never go on holiday. Spiritual gifts are never outdated. Spiritual gifts are never unwanted. Spiritual gifts are essential to the body because they strengthen. They manifest oneness, harmony, and incredible power that sustain the life of the church when the going is good and when the going is not so good. Spiritual gifts can be counterfeited. If you look at verses 2 and 3 here in 1 Corinthians, let me read that to you. It says, "And when I came to you, brothers and sisters," go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I forgot to tell you the actual reference. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 and 4. It says, "And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom." Then look, drop down to verse 4. "And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom." In other words, I didn't come to counterfeit this. I didn't come to fabricate my own message. I didn't come to kind of impress you with something that I have, some great astounding talent that I've acquired. But rather, I came to demonstrate the Spirit, to demonstrate the power of the Spirit, not to counterfeit it. That's what he's talking about here. Go back to chapter 12. Spiritual gifts are received by grace. They're not earned. Verse 4, it says, now there are different kinds of gifts or varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. You know, the word for gifts is charisma. Yeah? Sounds like charismatic. There is no such thing, really, as a non-charismatic Christian. It's how do you understand charismatic? Charisma, grace endued, gift of grace. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a charisma, a charismatic, grace endued, grace gifted person. Now this word is used 17 times in the New Testament. 11 of them refer to spiritual gifts, and 6 refer to salvation. Spiritual gifts are not talents. They're not skills that you acquire in an apprenticeship. And they're not natural abilities that some people are born with. These are special things that are given to us by God Himself. And they may be mobilized and expressed through our natural abilities and talents, but they are uniquely a gifting that He gives. You see, if they're supernatural, they're beyond the natural because they come to us by the Holy Spirit. Notice verse 7, it says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. See, the Spirit is the defining quintessential reality here. These would not be spiritual gifts if it weren't the Spirit at work. Therefore, no matter what abilities we have, if we're not relying on God, if we're not aiming to help others rely on God, then our ability that we're utilizing is not really a spiritual gift. It's falling short of what a gift is, because that's what gifts are. They're grace endued. They're not earned. Spiritual gifts are to be used in serving one another. Look at verse 5. It says, and there are varieties or different kinds of ministry, or another word could be service, but the same Lord. Now, ministries is from the same basic Greek word for serve, servant, or even the word deacon, Brother Steve. Okay? You are a ministry. You are a servant. You lead or you serve through that capacity of being a deacon. Elders lead by serving. And so we're all in this together. Jesus even used the word of himself. He said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. To deacon, to minister, to give. So spiritual gifts are to be used in serving one another. Spiritual gifts are energized by God. Now look at verse 6. Okay? And there are different kinds or a variety of effects, expressions we might say, or activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. Drop down to verse 11. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. So there's different kinds of effects or activities. And that's the word energema, from which we get our English word energy. It literally means what is worked out or what is being energized. You see, your spiritual gifts are made possible by the resident Spirit of God who bears witness with yours. So the one who gives spiritual gifts also provides the energy and the power as well as the faith for them to be operational. Okay? Keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 12. Turn over to Romans 12 just for a minute. Romans chapter 12, which, by the way, has another list of gifts that you can look at. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Okay? Keep in mind, too, that just as the gifts themselves are varied, so is the energizing. The same gift can be used even by the same person in a variety of different ways. You might exercise your gift sometimes in one time and with one in one setting, and then the next time you do it, it kind of comes out and looks even more different than the previous. And that's because our God is a God of variety. He likes diversity. That's why there's no two of us that are exactly alike. And so if God's Spirit is going to give us each a spiritual gift, it's going to be flavored as he distills and pours that gift out through us. Just look at how the Spirit came over the writers of the New Testament. He superintended such that they could not write anything but that what God wanted them to write. So we can be trusting that the word is inspired. But look at the styles. Dr. Luke, if you read and you're able to read in languages like in Greek, Dr. Luke shines. I mean, it's some of the best Greek in the New Testament. He's a doctor. He's cluey. He's been trained. Peter was a fisherman. And his writing reflects his rough as guts approach to language, okay? And yet, whether it's rough as guts or refined like that from a doctor, the fact is, God was the author. It's only sensical and right that as God energizes and expresses his gift to you and through you for the blessing of others, that it will be different. And that's great. The sixth one. Spiritual gifts receive themselves or reveal themselves as from God. Look at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. When something is manifest, it's made known. It becomes clear. It becomes evident. All right? The manifestation is a showing. Spiritual gifts will show themselves. They will bring to light. They will be put forward so that people can see. So the work of the church is primarily a supernatural work. What can't be explained about what's happening among us without bringing God into the equation? What's happening right now in your life that you cannot explain without bringing God center stage in the story that is your life? What's happening at East Keelor Evangelical Church that cannot be explained apart from God. See, it permeates. One of the greatest curses on the church is when its business is just so formulaic, so tick the box, so we've got it down to a science that we can run on human efforts alone. We can't do what God wants to do in and of ourselves. Well, we can, but it won't be what God wants it to be. Because it'll be manifestly apparent that the Spirit of God is not working in our midst and through us as He longs to. And that's spiritual gifts. They're always uniting. Look at the wording in verse 4. It says the same Spirit. Verse 5, it says the same Lord. Verse 6 says the same God. Then again in verse 11, the same Spirit. Same. Do you see what he's doing? There's a unifying influence here. We've got God involved, all three persons of the Trinity involved in doing what he wants to do in these gifts. It's amazing. And they're not just for our private use, but they're for public service. Look at verse 5. And there are varieties of service. The gifts are called services, as I mentioned earlier. But let me read to you 1 Peter 4:10. As each of you have received a gift, employ it in serving one another as the good stewards of the manifold grace of God. All service is something that I do for you. And when I do that, it goes public. It's out there. It's for people to see. And it's for the good of those who gather. And it's for the common good. Spiritual gifts, we've seen it over and over. They come in varieties. Everything is about different kinds and variety. Each of us have our own unique place and position in the body of Christ. There is no duplicate. There is no unessential part. Some of you might be likened unto a hand. Some of you might be likened unto a foot. Some of you might be likened unto a heart or a liver or a stomach, you know? Some of those parts are a little more attractive than others, but I tell you what, generally the ones that are least attractive are the ones most needful. Same with the gifts, because the point is being that variety. And, you know, my wife is not a teacher, okay? She's not up front public person. But every time God, by His Holy Spirit, has impressed upon the heart of my wife to teach a Bible class, I tell you what, no one more than her husband is gobsmacked. And every woman in the church, when she did that, signed up for the course. And you know why? It wasn't because my wife is a great teacher. Is because when my wife was given the gift to teach in that moment in time, it was clearly not my wife. So much so that her closest of friends would hug her and cry almost at the close of every class, just saying, I have seen God at work today. And when the class was over, she'd go back and she would be her quiet little behind-the-scenes self. See, it's variety. And that is not her mainstay gift. It's normally mercy, showing mercy. Paul encourages people by saying, recognize the gift. Now, everybody's got one. Okay? Look at verse 11. This is an interesting verse. And listen carefully, lest I offend anyone. Okay? Verse 11. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now notice, he divides to every person or apportions to every person. This speaks of the universality, okay? This says everybody has been given a gift. Everybody has been apportioned or divided and gotten one. But notice the word individually. It's not only that everyone universally has been given a gift, but everyone individually, you personally. And you know what the word individually means? It's the word idios, from which we get our English word idiot. Now stay with me. The word idiot means someone who has no duplicate in the whole world. When someone says he's an idiot, the word comes from an old English word meaning peculiar. He's one of a kind. The Spirit of God universally gives gifts, but to every individual, he gives them uniquely, particularly, and nobody has yours. You are not mass-produced. You are a one-of-a-kind, tailor-made vessel through which God puts on display the gift that he has given you. And that is a very precious thing. The list of gifts is not meant to be comprehensive or exhaustive or even a wish list. Listen as I read from verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Okay? What a beautiful passage. The 12th one. They are distinct from the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. We read about that in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is kind of like the bee character. Those being qualities that are expressed in our life. The realities of what must be behind the activity or the expression of our gifts. The gifts of the Spirit are the do qualities. See, we are first and foremost human beings. That's where the fruit of the Spirit shines. But then as human beings, we're called to do. And that's where the giftings come out. But the doing beautifully also reflects the being. And if it doesn't, then all of our activity is fleshly. You can bake a casserole and be led by the Spirit of God to do that, and it will have a greater impact than just the mere nourishment that it brings to the tummy of the one that you give it to that eats it. Or you can make a casserole, and all it does is warm and fill the tummy. It just depends on who is at work and how is it being expressed. And it's a challenge for us to recognize that we can sometimes do things in and of ourselves with no reliance upon the Spirit of God. That's what the flesh is. The flesh is not this stuff. The flesh is all the ways and all the means that we've come up with to meet our needs, to respond to life situations, but independent of our reliance upon God. That's the flesh. They're the default settings of our life. And sometimes, you know, when you get under pressure and somebody says something you don't like, then you get aggravated and you feel like you got to come back with a really clever, sharp, put them in their place statement. That's the flesh. But when you become a follower of Jesus, God's Spirit now is sitting and reigning, and he's in the driver's seat, and he wants to rewrite and create for you a new default setting so that you, in that situation, no longer rely upon the way you always responded, but you respond in a new way. Because therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old is gone, the new is coming out. And the same is true with gifts. They're incredible. Now, I've said before, they're different from natural abilities and talents and skills. You don't have to be a Christian to be talented. Some of those talented people in the world that I know of are not Christian. However, natural abilities and talents may be involved in the exercising of our spiritual gift, but the focus will not be upon your awesome talent, but upon your awesome God. Because the limelight is being shed or focused on him. Spiritual gifts are determined by the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 11. All of these are empowered by one and the same Spirit. Look at verse 18. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Verse 24, which are more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked. No one gift is more valuable than another, so there's no need to envy somebody's gift. There's no reason to be jealous. There's no reason to belittle. There's no reason for you to put yourself out there like, you know, I'm gifted, you know, so recognize me. God has determined what you have. He is the one who's in control. By the way, there's no place that I can find in Scripture where we're exhorted to discover our gifts. In Romans, when Paul introduces spiritual gifts, around verse 3 and following, you know what it follows? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Okay, you know what it follows? It follows sacrificial dedication, consecration of our lives to him. Worship always precedes service. And when we do that, see, we realize that God only hits moving targets. So you'll not know really what your gift is until you just start living Christ. You don't have to do a gifts survey. You don't have to go a weekend away and be immersed in a spiritual gifting conference and you read them, oh, I think I got this one. You know the best way to discover your gift? Is not go looking for it, but I being in the way, the Lord led. Just get out and live Christ where you are, and it will become evident Not so much to you, maybe, but it will to those around you. And if you just keep doing it and living it as God leads you, everybody will be blessed. Everybody will be blessed. One last one. We will be held accountable as stewards of the grace of God. Let me close with this reading of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you. Are you called to be a speaker? Then speak as though God Himself were speaking through you. Are you called to help others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then God will be given the glory in everything through Jesus Christ. All glory and power belong to Him forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. As the good stewards of the manifold grace of God, our gifts are given to benefit one another. Spiritual gifts equip, edify, and establish the saints so that they can effectively exalt Christ before a world that is watching. You are gifted. You may say, well, I don't have a whole lot of talents and abilities and skills. Okay. But you know what? You have a supernatural gift that's been given to you by God. And He wants you to use it. And the best way to do that is to live Christ. Walk with Him. And the more you are captivated and caught up with the wonder of all that He is, you'll be amazed at what He will do through you. Let's pray. Father, we want to just tell you unashamedly this morning that we love you and we thank you for all that you have done and given us in Christ. Thank you for spiritual gifts. Father, we must confess that the greatest gift